Oh, good morning, guys. I just want to tell you how much I love you to start off with. You know, it's funny when the Lord puts his heart on us. It's almost overwhelming, isn't it? I don't know about you, but it's like when I read the scriptures, And I hear and I see what the Lord is saying, and I'm processing it through my natural senses. It's like, that's really cool, Lord. When the anointing comes on, it makes it even more overwhelmingly wonderful. But when the heart of God grips you with how he is feeling, I don't know, you know, I've heard of people who've had experiences with the Lord for quite lengths of time. And I knew one individual who said to me, she said to God, "You got to stop. I can't take this anymore." And it's like that overwhelming feeling of his love for how much he loves us, the City Gate tribe. It's just really quite something. And I appreciate that he allows me to have his heart for a moment, because I think that sometimes we get distracted. We get distracted with busyness, business as usual. We get distracted with an awful lot of things that really pull away the reason why we're here in the first place. We're here to worship the Lord. And we're here to bring our brothers and sisters into a high place of fellowship with one another so that we can be transformed and impact our world as a result. I just want to let you know that while I was preparing this message, the Lord kind of hijacked me. I originally was going to speak about the threshing floor. And God said to me, it's really hard for a person to get on the threshing floor when they don't understand what I'm doing. I don't know about you, and I know sometimes he gives us the grace to say, "Yes, Lord, I will lay on that threshing floor and let you beat the snot right out of me," because that's what he's doing. He's separating the chaff, which is sin. He's separating the chaff from the wheat, from the actual beautiful grain that will nourish our bodies. And sometimes we're so familiar with what is going on inside of us, we think it's got to be God, when all the while it is not. It's sin. So when I was putting this message together, I'm trying to fit how the threshing floor fits in with God's process. And I thought, oh my gosh, we need to understand God's process first before we can experience the real impact of what the threshing floor will do for us. So I want to talk about trusting God in the process this morning. And I know that we have all been on a journey lately where we think, what in the world is going on? Have you wondered where God is in the face of difficulty of what you're going through? Are you struggling with quieting your heart and mind and wonder, where is your peace? Well, you're not alone. God is actually proving his word in you. Throughout our journey with the Lord, we receive prophetic words. Many of us have received many, many prophetic words in various ways through encouragement. Some people have encouraged us, others. We read our scriptures and all of a sudden the word jumps out at us and the Lord says, "That's yours. I want you to claim it. I want you to read it. I want you to meditate. I want you to think about this often. That's yours." You'll see a character in the Bible and you'll relate to him like nothing else. That's yours. That's who God is equipping you to become. And we have to hold on to it for dear life. Because once the enemy knows that God has shown you your destiny, your calling, and who you are, he's going to do everything he can to try to strip you of that. Some of us have dreams like Joseph. I have these crazy dreams all the time, but I can never remember them to write them fully when I wake up in the morning. Just have a real struggle with that. So I've really put to task, said, you know, Lord, can you just help me to remember these dreams? I don't want to dismiss or miss what you're doing in and through me with a dream that may be giving me guideposts. Now, one thing that I learned when I took the prophetic training is that sometimes God puts us into such a deep subconscious level of dream state that we will never remember the dream when we wake up, and he intended for that to happen because he wants the dream to go into the core of who we are, and he does not want us to try to sort out what that dream is all about. I don't know about you, but I've definitely had that happen to me. So from the moment we receive the word, God actively creates circumstances to bring these words to pass in every single one of us. Yay, God. That's so awesome. By growing and developing us, how? In maturity. I used to hate that word. Because if somebody had to use the word maturity, it meant I was immature. Some believe that as soon as the word is delivered, it's fulfilled. And sometimes it is. Sometimes the word is a yes and a now word. But oftentimes, and more often than not, it's years and years and years before words are fulfilled. So we have to cooperate and work together with the Holy Spirit to work that word out. We do this through prayer, obedience, and waiting for his timing. I can't tell you how many times the Lord has given us a prophetic word and we tried to make it happen. It was a disaster. It fell on fallow ground and probably caused a lot of unnecessary havoc where it was not necessary. When we know from Scripture and our own personal experiences that if we try to make this happen, consequences can be catastrophic and actually very far-reaching. If we look at the story of Ishmael, we see how far-reaching that is. There's generations and generations that this is still affecting God's people. Till the word of the Lord is proven in us, is what the scripture says. I want to read Psalm 105, verses 16 through 19, and I'm going to read it in the Passion Translation. So God decreed a famine upon Canaan land, cutting off their food supply. But he had already sent a man ahead of his people to Egypt. It was Joseph, who was sold as a slave. His feet were bruised by strong shackles, and his soul was held by iron. God's promise to Joseph purged his character until it was time for his dreams to come true. I bet you that was not on Joseph's agenda. Being put in shackles till your feet are bruised, your heart in iron. I looked that up. When a soul is held in iron, it is under such turmoil and so troubled by what is going on internally that you can barely stand it. It's an interesting way for the Lord to fulfill his promise to Joseph. Here this man had a dream. He was very excited, as we all know. He wanted to brag to his brothers, which he did not have a very good relationship with. And immediately they were going to do whatever they could to stop that from happening. I don't know if you noticed that. These are the people that he supped with. This was his family. These were the ones who were closest to him. And they were the ones who tried to make anything happen to prevent that from coming to pass. It was the people he supped with that hurt him the most. But the reason why God also allowed that to happen was because Joseph was not yet qualified or proven. Joseph was a bit of a bellyacher, as we all know, and he liked to tell on his brothers. And he liked to brag about dreams, which is half of the problem of why his brothers rose up against him. And it really put his brothers over the edge, didn't it? So aren't you glad that God doesn't call the qualified? He qualifies the called. That should be a source of great encouragement to every one of us in this room. He doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. If you have a calling on your life, be ready. God is about or will continue in his process with you. So there is a process that God takes us through in terms of transformation. And as the word of the Lord refines us, as we submit to God's process, it is perfected or it is performed in us. I have a teaching by Graham Cook that absolutely shocked me, shook me, and then I had to say, okay, God, I have to surrender and submit to this process. I want to share a few of those things that he talked about in this teaching. He said that God has four elements in the process of our maturity and coming into fruition of our prophetic words being fulfilled. First, we have a declaration. That's the prophecy. God intends the purpose for your life spoken through prophecy to come to pass. And when you receive a word from the Lord, it came as a declaration, and now he will begin the process of performing to bring that word to maturity in you and I. The next thing, which is not so cool, is that he sets out to work into our hearts to remove everything in us that will prevent that word from coming forth. That which should not be there, and it absolutely must be removed. Every obstacle, every hindrance must be dealt with, so we are purged into a season of distress. Where God begins our development. I want you to really hang on to these things, because when we get into a position of being in distress, he's developing something in us. And development is the next stage. Development and distress go hand in hand. Oftentimes we're so focused on the distress that we don't see that God is actually developing us. And so we try as hard as we can to move out from what he is doing. We cry out to God and say, God, rescue me. We even sometimes go so far as to say the devil has been giving us havoc. When all the while, God has put this in place and orchestrated these circumstances and these situations for our destiny, because oftentimes our destiny is working through traumatic trauma in our circumstances. He uses trauma in our circumstances. And good news is that he also delivers and heals us from all of those things. The next thing that God does is he demonstrates his power in us. Once that word has been perfected, it has been performed in us. Now he can demonstrate, when development has reached a certain point that blesses the Lord himself, we move into demonstration of all God declares over us, and we walk into our destiny. So it is through this process that God makes us fit the word that we have received. It's that testing that actually makes us fit. As we respond and learn the process and the ways of God, it is that testing that has been designed to actually establish in us all that God wants to give us. But he will not give us anything on our terms. We must go through his processes. God meticulously creates a series of circumstances that brings transformation in our heart and mind. When we understand what God is doing, it will still be difficult and it will still be painful. But understanding helps us to submit to the process. I want to tell you something that absolutely shocked me, but I have a scripture that proves it true. Betrayal is a part of our process. In the process of what God is working out in us, we must experience absolute betrayal by the people we should have been able to trust the most. Graham Cook made this sobering statement in his teaching that I'm referring to. We are nothing, this is what he said, we are nothing unless we've been betrayed. It is absolutely essential that we are wounded in the house of our friends, those we really thought we could trust. It is important that we are betrayed and wounded if we want the power of the resurrection. We have to know the fellowship of his suffering. We must learn to handle the rejection of our brothers. And remember, Psalm 105, verse 18, the latter part of that verse says, Joseph's soul was held by irons by his own brothers. When our life is going in the opposite direction of what we expect, we're actually learning to trust God. Even more importantly, God is learning to trust us. Both are very, very important in this process. So what about this distress to reach our destiny? Each one of us will go through a personal process of distress in order to reach that destination point. Jesus is our example. He was an innocent man, chosen by the Father, rejected and betrayed by his friends, about to be whipped and spat on, and says in that moment, "Forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." I want to read something out of John 12, verse 27, the Passion Translation. Even though I am tore in within and my soul is in turmoil, this is Jesus speaking, I will not ask the Father to rescue me from this hour of trial, for I have come to fulfill my purpose, to offer myself to God. So, Father, bring glory to your name. So most of us cry out for God to deliver us in difficulty, when really we should be crying out, glorify your name, Lord. God has in some cases taken years to orchestrate circumstances we find ourselves in, so he can help us to develop our character. And when we cry out to him and say, God, rescue us, he says, are you kidding? It took me 3 years to put this circumstance together for you. I will not rescue you. He is not about to rescue us from the very thing that he orchestrated to build character in us. I know I asked him. We need to find the quiet and we need to find his peace. I don't know about you, but when these things wage war in my members, the members of who I am internally, I lose my peace and I lose that quietness that God has so graciously formed in me. Then I know I need to go back and ask the Lord, bring me back to the quiet place. Bring me back to the peaceful, still waters. Speak to my heart. And help me to sort these things through. So if we can find that quieter corner in our soul where we hear his voice, we will hear him say, trust me. It is well with my soul. That's what I want to be able to say always. But it doesn't always happen. The war wages on. The tides come in. I mean, Jesus was in the boat with the disciples and he was sleeping in a storm. And he said, Master, save us. And what did Jesus say? How long will I put up with you? Peace, be still. And the wind and the waves stopped. But he's given us the same authority. He lives inside of us. The Son of Man has come to reside inside of each and every one of us. And he said that the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead will quicken our mortal bodies. He told us we'd do greater things than him. I know that we don't know the end time. We don't know when the end will come. But I wonder how much time is left. And how are we doing? How are we doing? We need to know that the hurts are necessary for the transformation process. We learn grace and mercy this way. We learn how to forgive and how to be forgiven. There is an opportunity to learn the kindness and the mercy of God on a deeper personal level than we've ever known before if we choose not to run away from what is going on inside of us. I know for a fact that the war is raging right now, not just at City Gate Church, but in the body of Christ. I talk to people who are around the world. The same types of things are happening to them. What is God after? And he says, don't abandon your post. Because if we do, where there is a gap, it will be filled. What will it be filled with? If we who contain the anointing and the power of the living God abandon the post, then there is only one other thing that will reside in that place. It's either the power of God or it's the power of the enemy. There's no in between. When something touches us on the inside and when we can't pretend. I don't know about you, but I really suck at pretending. I am the worst pretender going. Everybody's like, Kelly, I can so see through you. I see your emotion. I see your turmoil. I see the trouble in your soul. I suck at pretending. And a lot of you do too. Guys, we're not supposed to be pretenders. We need to be honest. We need to be honest with what's going on in our soul so that we can say, God, what will you be for me today that I've never let you be before? There's so many things that we lack still. We're still infants. We're still children learning. What will you be for me today, God? You know what's going on inside of me. Will you come and draw close to me? I don't know about you, but another thing that I struggle with, when I feel like I have failed so terribly, I want to run the other way from God. I don't want to draw near to him because the enemy tries very quickly first to fill us with shame and to fill us with guilt. God doesn't operate that way. He does not condemn us. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And you know something? I used to think that the Lord wanted me to realize there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus when I looked out at other people. Well, he very quickly showed me that I'm condemning myself. That's why I can't come into his presence. That's why I keep that distance between me and him. And he wants us, every one of us, when we're feeling the worst, when we have this overwhelming shroud of shame and condemnation, he wants us to run into his arms. But he also wants us to run into the arms of our brothers and sisters. I want to declare myself as a safe place, but I can't just declare it. I need to be it. I need to be a safe place. So there's a whole lot that God is still sorting out, not only in me, but in the whole body. But it's in that moment that what God can only provide us with only what he has that is so real to us, that when it's deposited on the inside, it's transforming. There's where our transformation comes. It's when we have the courage. He said, be strong and courageous, Joshua 1:9. Do not fear. Be strong and courageous, for the Lord your God is with you. We need to be strong and courageous in the face of our Father when we're feeling pretty bad. Take that courage. But there's no room to fake it anymore. Things are getting tough. Things are getting more difficult. We need to hang on to him like we never have before. And we need to lock arms with one another as we have never done before as well. We all know this. Jesus was despised and rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He was greatly wounded by the one he called friend. And he left the blueprint for us to have the victory. He showed us how to get the victory. But one thing is clear. It is absolutely vital that our wounds are healed. We don't have the right to remain wounded. We have the right to be healed because Jesus paid for it for us. And if our wounds are not healed, it is there that our circumstances will find us out. Whenever we get into tough circumstances, we'll know whether we have allowed the Lord to come and to heal the wounds that are causing us to react in the wrong manner. Philippians 3:10 says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. You know, it's so funny. I was so drawn to the scripture years ago. It's like, Lord, this is a mystery. There's a mystery in this, that I may know him. Our first thing, Abner said this last week, that we would be a friend of God above all things. He wants us to be his friend. There is where I will know him. And the power of his resurrection, that same power that lives in Jesus, that he rose from the dead and provided everything that we will ever need, resides in us as well. And the fellowship of his suffering. I wasn't sure I liked that. And I did not really understand. I did not understand that I needed to fellowship in his suffering. I didn't understand that he required me to feel the wounds and the pain that he felt from the one he called my brother, so that he could form something in me that would never, ever be formed any other way. So that I would be transformed, that I would be conformed to his death. So that squealing, you know, crying, set me free, rescue me perspective would be pulled out of me. It would die in me. I'm not there yet. I remember Max saying a few weeks ago, guys, I hope you don't mind. I'm going to speak on something I'm still sorting through. Well, you know what? I think we all are. But when we make that confession of our mouth, when we share what God has given us in part, it anchors in our soul and it makes a way for it to grow. Then he waters it and it becomes just like a mustard seed. Though it is the smallest of seed, it becomes the largest of trees. And it provides shelter and shade for the birds of the air and for the animals that are all around that area. He wants us to provide shelter for others. This is how he's going to do it. I don't know about you guys. I said, and Ron and I were talking about this yesterday. I said to Ron, have you ever prayed? Oh, yes, Lord, ah, yeah, come on, God, give it all to me. I want it all. I want to live in the glory. I want to live in the power of your resurrection. I want to live for you. And such passion, such a measure of surrender. Oh, thank you. I don't think we knew what we were telling God. I don't think we really knew what we were up against, but it's okay. It doesn't matter if we understand, as long as we trust the one who has required it of us. We don't have to understand. How many times have you gone to the Lord and said, God, I don't understand. Did he answer you? I don't know about you, but he sure has not answered me. He was quiet. And the scripture that came to mind was, when you have done all, stand. Stand until it is complete. Stand until I am finished. Stand until I have perfected in you. Stand until you have a greater level of authority. Stand until all that was no longer bothers you. So I'm going to stand. I want to tell you one thing that he showed me that is essential to being able to walk through this process with success. We all know it, but I don't think we all practice it. I know I don't always. Understanding the process is a part of his development and help us to forgive those who have betrayed us. Do you know what we have a hard time with? Forgiveness. If we didn't have a hard time with forgiveness, we wouldn't see all these broken relationships. We wouldn't see all of this. You know, I may shut my mouth and say nothing, but my silence speaks of disapproval louder than any words that I could speak. My choice to not spend time with you, to walk past you as though I didn't even see you standing there, speaks a lot louder than me coming up to say, in case you really ticked me off. It speaks volumes. And the enemy is laughing at us. He is having fun watching us reject and turn our eye away from our brothers and sisters. He's having a great time with it. And this ought not to be. God didn't say it would be easy to forgive, but it's vital. Never mind that. It's a commandment. We don't have a choice, guys. He said, I command you, forgive your brothers and sisters. Never mind that. If we don't forgive, our prayers will be hindered. They'll go unanswered. Man, how long am I going to spend time praying without forgiving my brother? What a waste of time. It's not much wonder I feel like I'm hitting a ceiling every time I pray when I don't forgive. And when I say to the Lord, what's going on? What's the problem here? Then he brings somebody to mind. And I'm like, yeah. Yep. I'm guilty. Forgive me, Lord. And I forgive my brother and sister. Help me to understand the process of being betrayed as Jesus was, so that I can live in the victory that he intended me to live in and that he intended you to live in. This is for us. Can you imagine how powerful even Little City Gate Church would be if we practice these small things? Thursday night, our DNA group watched the seventh session of Relationship 101 by Danny Silk. Danny made a statement that really struck me. He said, when we don't forgive, we set ourselves up as judge and begin to operate in this spirit of fear and division. ouch. Forgiveness is a behavior of a person who has said yes to a covenant. We are a covenant people. We are in covenant with one another. How are we doing? So the process. This is a process that will start and end many, many times over in our lives, taking us deeper into fellowship with the Lord and freedom with each other. It's going to happen over and over and over again. I remember the first time I heard somebody say, I can tell you've been wounded deeply because you have an authority that doesn't come unless you have been wounded. And I didn't know what they were talking about. But I sure had to work through the process. It didn't come without a cost. It didn't come without me carrying on and having a little tantrum. It's not so simple, but I'll tell you something, guys. We need to lock arms. We need to come alongside of each other. We need to cheer each other on. We need to say, I see that you're having a problem. I see that the enemy is really wreaking havoc with you. Instead of saying, what in the world is going on with Kelly again? We need to lay down the judgments. Because if we don't, the spirit of fear and division is lurking at the door of our heart. As soon as we make a judgment, we have granted the spirit of fear and division access to our heart. I'm going to be very honest. When I struggle with stuff, I'm afraid. I'm afraid of being hurt. I'm afraid of being rejected, just like the rest of you. You know what? God has been so gracious to me. I am thrilled to pieces with being able to lead worship on a Sunday and to stand up here and talk to you and share the deep things that God has deposited in my heart. But I am no different than you. I am afraid to be hurt. I am afraid to be vulnerable, just like you are. But if we say, no more, I will not be afraid. He's not given us a spirit of fear. What am I taking hold of that for? I cast off that fear in the name of Jesus. I will rise up in courage and strength. Amen. The battle is the Lord's, but He needs us to carry that which He has given us into battle so the victory is won. He chose us. A band of merry, I don't know. God's intention is that we get to a place that we trust Him so much that we are willing to trust others again, even though we have been betrayed by them. God wants to bring us to a place of innocence. There is no innocence without purity of heart. So we have to allow Him to remove suspicion, weariness, mistrust, and the wall that we have built around ourselves. If we have a wall up, not only are we keeping people out, guess who else is being kept out? God Himself. We know this, and yet we do it again and again. We put up a wall. Nobody in, nobody out. That includes God. I want to live in a place where I always believe the best about people and live according to Philippians 4, verse 8. I want to read it in a different translation because I think that we hear it and hear it so much that we don't hear it anymore. I want to read it in the Passion Translation. Philippians 4:8 says, finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good repute, if there is any excellence, and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things. So let's invite God to take us to a deeper place where we actually have a great hold of Philippians 4, verse 8. It's not going to happen overnight. That's why he said to cast down every imagination that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. That's why we need to take captive every thought to the obedience of Christ. And we need to be ready to punish every act of disobedience once our obedience has been made complete. I don't know about you, but I don't hear people rehearse that last part of that scripture, that we need to punish disobedience in ourselves. Let's pray. God, I can deliver a message, but you have to deliver the goods, Lord. You know each and every one of us where we're at. You know our struggle. You know our downfalls. You know our strengths. You know our weaknesses. I am asking you, Holy Spirit, to dispatch your angels right now this morning. Would you minister to each and every one in this room, Lord? Would you meet us where we are? I know that some even feel like they're already on the threshing floor. And did I say yes? Well, I'm sure we did, Father. But I'm asking you, in the name of Jesus, fill us. We can't live on yesterday's experiences. We need the fresh manna. That's why when you put that manna on the ground for the Israelites, you told them that the manna would spoil the next day, and it did. It's no good what we had yesterday. We need fresh manna. Lord, would you come? And would you feed your children? Would you feed each and every one of us? Fill us till overflowing, Lord. Give us that overcoming power. God, I pray that what you've already deposited on the inside of us would rise up in the name of Jesus. I call you all to rise up in the name of Jesus and take your rightful place in the body. I declare and decree a tribe of unity over us. And I break the back of the enemy and put him under our feet where he belongs in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen.